Hello, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, of course. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we're going to go see a movie called Baby Girl, which is the end of a very long-running saga in January between me and Kathy, in which I have been pestering her to watch the movie Nosferatu, and which she has been pestering me to watch the movie Baby Girl. And I don't want to spoil what the outcome of this argument was.
It was decided for by our local cinema, because we went to check the listings for tonight, which is of course how we plan our trips, and Nosferatu was gone. So thank you, local cinema, for doing my bidding.
Thank you, local cinema. You dragged this argument out for so many weeks that Nosferatu had no choice but to leave.
Anyway,
and leave us with this Nicole Kidman thing.
I can't wait. By the way, as we're walking down now, it is freezing. So when we get out of the cinema, teeth will be chattering, I think. Anyway, do you know anything about this movie, Dave?
Yes, I watched the trailer. It looks fine. It looks like... So this is Nicole Kidman plays... this is me summarizing the trailer for everyone. Nicole Kidman plays a very successful woman. She's a businesswoman. She's got the perfect family because she's married to Antonio Banderas.
And I mean, in fairness,
everything's great. And then suddenly this intern comes into her life and she gets 50 shades of flustered.
She gets 50 pints decides, of milk, I think.
And they enter into a sort of an affair, so they say. And
Look, the trailer I saw too.
But the twist is
I couldn't be more keen on this.
But Kathy, here's the twist.
Based on the trailer.
You've seen the twist. The twist is he's the one in charge. He's the intern.
Wait, a shocking twist. A man's the one in charge. I can't wait to watch this. I admire Nicole Kidman for, like, she always just plays this kind of icy, high society mom. But she finds new ways to flex the character, you know? And I guess this one's a submissive. She'll always just bring it somewhere you don't expect it to
so
be.
So it's Nicole Kidman is an upper New York rich billionaire, but this time she's a submissive.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
She often plays a stay-at-home mom, but I believe she's the CEO in this as well. So anyway, I'm excited to see it. I've seen various memes around things like glasses of milk that I don't get, but I can't wait to get.
Okay.
And we'll
I haven't
be
seen that. I don't I see think, memes.
I think you'd be thrilled if we watched this over Nosferatu, personally.
Well,
I'm
I mean, I went to our Patreons. Our beautiful Patreons who...
Do you mean our patrons?
Our patrons over at patreon.com/thecinema. And I said to them, guys, help me out here. Kathy won't go to Nosferatu. Convince her. And they came up with so many good arguments. But the number one argument that they came up with was there's a prosthetic penis in it. And you still wouldn't cross that line.
Yeah, but we're going to see Baby
Girl. A prosthetic vampire penis.
I don't think there's any prosthetics in Baby Girl.
You think it's all real?
I would.
It's all real,
so.
Baby. The guy in it is the guy from Triangle of Sadness.
Which is a film we loved. And I actually think we never talked about it on this podcast because we watched it at home. But yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic film. He was brilliant. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. And we shall be back after we have watched Baby Girl.
See you soon.
Being a CEO means being a collaborator and a nurturer.
Don't you have to be at work?
Everyone is just waiting for me to buckle under the pressure.
Is now a good time to introduce the interns?
Yeah. Hey, how'd you get that dog to calm down?
I gave it a cookie.
You always have cookies on you.
Why, do you want one?
Who decided to make me a part of that mentor program? You have 7 minutes.
So, how did it start?
I see myself as a...
power-hungry personality.
You think that's what I am?
I think you like to be told what to do. Sorry, I didn't mean to... That was incredibly inappropriate.
Your behavior is unacceptable.
Is it? We're gonna do this. We need to set some rules that you and I both agree on.
Did you order this?
Starting with, I tell you what to do and you do it.
All right, hello, we're back. We have just come out of Baby Girl. It's really, really quiet, so I don't really feel comfortable talking about this movie out loud. But here we are. As always, on the Cinemile, there's no spoilers until, of course, we get to Spoiler Street. But it's very, very difficult anyway to spoil a movie that contains no plot.
I think it's wild that it's only January and we've just seen the worst film of 2025.
Yeah, that's it's a very, very bad film.
And
I'm never going to let you forget about this because
this
is your fault.
We could have
Nosferatu'd it up big time. A movie that is universally acclaimed.
I realize
that our patrons told you has a floppy prosthetic vampire dick. And you chose this where Nicole Kidman laps up milk from a saucer.
I realized I was watching it and about halfway through I went, the hell, this is so bad. And I realized, oh, I've seen memes about it and I've seen a trailer.
Oh, you didn't know about the sub-dom stuff.
But I had never seen... No. I got that from the trailer. No, I realised I'd never seen a review. I didn't realise it was a bad movie.
Yes, well, we don't actually like to look at reviews too much before we go in because I think it can taint your opinion. But sometimes they're very useful for steering you away from things.
Yeah, like, I don't seek them out, but I'll usually see them. But I realise now I've only seen things about the milk and, like, silly clips from the trailer, so...
But this actually has pretty good reviews.
I'm so sorry.
This has okay reviews. This film has not been slated to the point that we are about to slate it because we had a terrible time. I'm not a big fan of Rotten Tomatoes, but if you want to use that as a method, 77% of critics like this. This is a fresh movie.
That's wild.
48% popcorn meter. So I'm with the popcorn crowd.
Wild.
52%.
Like, okay, so just to break it down, it's the worst I've ever seen Nicole Kidman ever in her whole career. And I really like Nicole Kidman. It's deadly boring.
It is. This movie is tedious.
Two people got up and left in our cinema and then...
Oh, they came back, actually.
Did they? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought they were gone for good and I was jealous of them.
It is so tedious, I couldn't wait for it to
boring.
End.
Deadly boring. It has no plot. It is the least sexy film I've ever seen.
Yes, thank you. It's so not sexy.
There's
and by the way, I do feel it should be said that firstly, a couple of caveats. Number one, I don't understand the world of BDSM or sadomasochism or any, and I do not wish to kink shame anybody who's into that stuff. And I guess there are people who might find this film sexy. I agree with you.
They have no chemistry, though.
Yeah, if the aim of this film were to make that world accessible and interesting to a mainstream audience, I think it has failed spectacularly there was no way into this film because the characters are so insanely bland and boring.
But there's not it's not even a particularly kinky film, though.
No, I don't. I agree.
I would venture to say 50 Shades of Grey is a kinkier film than this. Like, this film is all tedious close-ups of Nicole Kidman and...
So much whispering.
...really boring scenes and loads of whispering and, like, shockingly bad dialogue. And I'm sorry to say, terrible direction. Really bad use of music. But, like, it was just... I love that it's called a neurotic thriller because it's the least thrilling film I've ever watched.
Oh, my God. No, this isn't a thriller. Like, okay, I'm going to... I think a really good counterpoint for this film is Challengers, which it deals with a lot of the same subject matter. It's about shifting power dynamics power dynamics in both a professional setting and a personal setting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And how they can sort of go back and forth, a bit like a tennis match.
And, and look, we've talked a lot about Challengers on this
and
podcast.
I'm not, yeah, I won't go, but the difference is what Challengers does is it creates a sense, the movie never stops and creates a sense of momentum and propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is the exact opposite of like Newton's laws. It has no momentum. It is, you're just waiting for it to kick into gear and it never does.
When it does present
some dramatic conflict, it does it in the most soap opera way.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually shocked at how bad it was.
Yeah, I was shocked.
And to your point, the dialogue, the writing in this movie, like, for the most part, I was incredibly bored, but I was like, at least the movie is not, like, there's stuff happening in between behind their eyes, and the stuff's all happening barely between the characters, and I was like, okay, it's like this, and I'm trying to, so this is what she wants, and this is kind of, I could see that, you know, trying to like establish the longing of the characters,
yeah,
in the silence.
Build up was okay.
And then, but then in the third act, not to spoil, this isn't a spoiler, but she just comes out and says everything, you know, she says, this is, turns out this is what I wanted, and this, and just like, I could not believe it was showing not telling for so long, which was boring anyway, but then it just flipped and just told, it just told, don't, instead of showing for the end,
it just
like literally just like, I guess the real thing I wanted was this. I'm just like, what?
It's,
yeah,
so
what?
Boring, and it's,
you
great,
just ruined any bit of intrigue.
Like, in the, we had a lot of fun back when the 50 Shades franchise was out and we reviewed it on this podcast. I had way more fun of 50 Shades of Grey as a movie. Because at least it,
well, that's,
tonally,
that's silly.
But it tonally knew what it was. So I think the problem with this film is that this film thinks
it's prestige.
Highbrow?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
this film
intriguing?
Is by A24, and I think this is a turd wrapped in a beautiful A24.
It's a really bad
bow.
Movie. Like it's like if you took 50 Shades of Grey and you think, oh, I'm going to make a really intellectual version of it, but you haven't.
Yeah.
And I like, my overwhelming feeling, and I did turn to Dave multiple times and say this, is what is Nicole Kidman doing in this film? Like, I'm gobsmacked. Like, at one point, the actor's just
why?
Got two fingers in her mouth, and he's putting them in and out of her mouth, and I'm like, why are we here?
Like, how did we get here?
Why are you allowing that young actor to put his fingers in your mouth?
But sorry, excuse me.
Like, what's happening?
Like, sorry, Kathy, like, why are you surprised? Think of all the, like, many of the choices Nicole Kidman has made over the past few years. The Perfect Couple, Garbage TV.
Yeah, but that's Garbage TV, but she's not writhing around, like, naked, like, grinding into carpet.
Oh, I see.
You know
see
what I
mean?
Like, I just, like, I have,
well,
no,
no,
like,
I
have no issues with actors doing sex scenes or anything like that. Freedom of expression, everybody, brilliant. But, like, why is she debasing herself for this film?
Yeah, this film was not worth it. But
like,
but the stuff she does is quite brave. It's very revealing and it's very exposing.
Like
she puts her body out there.
But
like,
she's been in, like, Eyes Wide Shut and all this kind of stuff. So, like, it's not atypical for her.
Yeah, sure.
It's just, like, I don't know. She's so rich and so famous and, like,
yeah, you don't have to do this, but I guess she wanted to do it.
Fascinating that she would. I wonder if when she read the script, there was a sense that it's a good film.
When she read the terrible, terrible script that
we
just heard.
Like, maybe she was very inspired by the director or something, because it's like there was a whole scene, there was a whole sequence, and we'll get into spoilers in a bit, where, like, one, we won't say who, but, like, one of the characters is just, like, silently dancing while the other one watches them, and I was like, these actors are thinking this is a really good scene.
Yeah, and
like,
exactly,
really,
oh, exactly.
And our whole cinema was laughing.
Sorry, not just the actors, the everyone, like
involved.
The director, everyone on set. You just get the sense this film is so fucking pleased with itself.
It's so pleased.
It's
with
like
itself.
It's like, this is like, we're making real art here.
And there was,
and,
like, a whole scene where,
and it's just not. It's just stupid.
There was a whole scene where, like, one of the characters is, like, standing against the wall in the corner, and the other character is like, take your clothes off. And our whole cinema was laughing.
We were all laughing.
Like, it was like a skit. It was like, I was actually, I did at one point think, oh, I wonder if this film is farce and they're kind of fucking with us, but I don't think it's supposed to be farcical.
No.
But it was very farcical.
No, it's what you said a moment ago. It's, this is high art. This is an attempt at high art.
My final problem with the film, and this is a very deep problem that really bothers me. So we open and it's Christmas season and the interns begin. Now, yeah. Have you ever heard of an internship program beginning the week before Christmas? I haven't. They have their Christmas party. There's Christmas trees everywhere. It's Christmas. We get it.
Yeah.
As the film goes on and many, many months seem to be passing, there are always Christmas trees on. And then it fully ends again with more Christmas trees. So either a week passed, a year passed, or 100 years passed.
We kept,
all ending in
we
December.
We kept thinking, and then there's,
why is this still Christmas? Why is there a Christmas tree there? And I just don't know. Is the film fucking with us? Did a year pass or did a month pass? I don't know.